The verse that I'm going to... What I want to focus on here in 1 John chapter 2 is, you know, some real famous verse. Starting verse number 15 says, "Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." I think there's a lot of people today that would say that they love God. Most of the people you probably talk to would say that. But we see here that if the love of the world, if any man love the world, the Bible says the love of the Father is not in him. The Bible is saying you're a liar if you say that you love God and you have the love of the Father, but you love the world, you know. And the Bible tells us what the love of the world consists of. It's the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. It says none of these things are of the Father but are of the world. But what I really want to preach on tonight, the subject, the title of my sermon is The Power of Music. All right, music is a very powerful thing. So I started off with these verses about not loving the world because, you know, the world puts out a lot of music, a lot of the wrong music. And this is something that has deeply influenced me in my life. And it's something I want to preach about because it is so powerful. I think sometimes people don't even realize how powerful music can really be. It's deceptively powerful. It's something that can creep in and influence you without you really realizing how much influence that music can have over you. And, you know, like I said, this is something that's not really paid too much attention to oftentimes because it's everywhere, because it's such a commonplace thing in our culture today, in America. You know, you hear it. If you take a ride with someone, usually there's a radio on in the vehicle. If you're out pumping gas, now they have music just playing at gas stations. You go to a restaurant, you sit down to eat. Usually it's just subtly in the background. They'll have a radio station or something playing in the background. You go to a baseball game, a basketball game, any of these things, there's music, 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 music. I mean, you think about how many times you hear it. I mean, if you just going about your daily life, I mean, you're getting inundated with this music, and most of the time you probably don't even pay attention to it. You probably don't even realize it. It's something that's just there in the background. You know, another place where music is used very commonly, and it's also very subtle, is in movies. You know, it's usually used to build a certain mood or a suspense. You know, you think of like Jaws, like da-na-da-na-da-na-da-na. And oftentimes you're looking at the screen or you're looking at these images, right? And the music's playing and it's getting you in this mood. It's getting you, it's almost like, you know, a feeling, right? I mean, you're feeling the suspense while this music's playing, but you're not necessarily conscious of how the music is influencing you and how it's affecting you. But then that's why it's so powerful, because it's one of those things that's very subtle, but it can affect the way you feel, it can affect your emotions, and it can affect how you think. I'm going to get into that a little bit here. Now, it's also used in advertising. You think about advertising jingles, right? I mean, you could probably go back 10, 15, 20 years and think of songs, of little jingles for advertising that have just stuck with you, and you probably haven't heard them in 10 or 15 years, and you still know them by heart, right? It's because it's set to music. Now, in the Bible, and that's probably the most powerful thing, is the way it's able to get into your memory. You're able to remember things very, very easily when you have music associated with it. In the book of Deuteronomy, you don't have to turn there and read one verse, Deuteronomy 31, 21. The Bible says, "And it shall come to pass, when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness. For it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed. For I know their imagination which they go about, even now, before I have brought them into the land which I swear." And this is talking, you know, Moses was giving them a song, the children of Israel, for them to remember. It's something for them to memorize, so they wouldn't forget the things that God had done for them and the blessings and the cursings and different things. Because he knew it's powerful, you know, this song. And this is, you know, not all song is bad. I'm going to get into that too. You know, the power of music, it's just, we have to recognize, first of all, that it's powerful. Okay, it has, properties about it that that can be used, you know, either good or bad. Here's an example of it being used for something that's good. You know, memorizing a song, memorizing scripture. You know, you think about the book of Psalms as really a song book. And it probably has the most references to memorizing scripture found within the book of Psalms. Keeping his word in your heart. Those types of things. And it's found within a psalm book, which is also, you know, the biggest book of the Bible, is a song book. So, you know, these are good things, but it's a good way to memorize things, but it's also can bite you too, because music is so powerful for having you remember things. So that's why you have to be careful with what you expose yourself to. You know, unfortunately, I was extremely into music for a very long period of my life, and into the world's music. I'm still into music. I love music. Okay, but I was into the world's music for a long, long period of my life, right? 20 years at least. And I mean, every day, just headphones, radio, whatever. And whenever I could have the music on, it was on. And now, unfortunately, I have to reap what I've sown with that, because I get stupid songs popping into my head all the time. And I don't know where they come from. I literally, like, some of these songs are just like, what in the world did that come in? And it's not what I want to be thinking about, honestly. I mean, it's kind of funny. Sometimes it's like, that stupid song, like, why is that in my head? But it's not. I mean, I don't even want to ever think about that stuff again, because a lot of it's just foolishness. But some of it's, you know, a lot of it's no good. I mean, most of the stuff I listen to is not any good at all. It's not what I want to have my mind thinking about. It's a distraction. And, you know, I know I'm not alone in this either. It's not just me. Because people love to quote songs. And now with Facebook and the social media and stuff, you get to see it all the time. People like putting up their one-liners. They put up their one-liners for movies and music. And, you know, it's unfortunate because oftentimes you'll find people who feel the same way I do about the world music. And we'll say they're against it, yet they're going to post on their Facebook a line or a reference to some worldly music or some artist. And that's wrong. I mean, that's hypocritical. I think you ought to be ashamed of yourself if you do that. I try my best not to glory in the world, not to glory in the, you know, the movies and the music and that type of thing. We ought to be separated from that. Okay, we ought not to be thinking about those things. And I know it's hard. You know, for someone like me who's just pumped my mind full of that stuff, it happens a lot, but you got to do your best to keep out of that. You know, we need to be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, not the spirit of this world. And the spirit of this world is shown a lot in the world's music. So that's you know, my first point is just that, you know, music is very powerful, and it's going to be able to make you remember things you want to remember. It's going to really just works its way into your head, and it's really just like a vehicle is used. Music's just a when you know, the bands that are out there today, everyone has a message that they want to get across, right? Today's artists, when you read interviews or you see these people talking, they have something to say. Okay, that's why they're writing songs. That's why they're doing what they're doing. That's why they're being creative. They have something that they want to say. They want to get their message out to you. And a very effective way of doing that is putting their words to music. Because you know what? The music can touch your soul. It could speak to you. It could make you have emotions and have feelings. I know this firsthand. I mean, you hear stuff that literally can move you. And when it tickles your soul, when it tickles you that way, it feels good. That's the perfect time for them to inject whatever they want into your head, whatever message they want to get into you. And oftentimes, you know, you don't even realize it. I think of, you know, there's an instance of a song that I used to listen to over and over. I used to be like really into classic rock and, you know, and all kinds of different variety. But there was this song that I never used to pay attention to the lyrics, but I knew it by heart. And one day, it just clicked like, oh, that's what that song's about. And it's a, you know, I really don't even want to get into it. That song was called Lola, and it was is talking about like a cross-dressing guy, and it was just really nasty stuff. But they put it to this song and this beat and this rhythm that sounds fun and it just sounds good and it's something you hear on the radio all the time. You could probably find it on a classic rock station if you listen to it for like a day and you probably hear it be played. It's a popular song. But, you know, I would be able to sing the lyrics and sing along to it and know it. And it's like, it wasn't a favorite song, but I just knew it. And it took me years before I ever even thought about it at all. Say, hey, what is this even saying? And I mean, from that moment on, I was like, I don't want to listen to that song. This is too weird for me. But that's how powerful this music is. I mean, it's dangerous. You know, it cuts right to your soul. I mean, music could get in. And you know, I realize it doesn't affect everyone the same way. But it was a major impact to me. And it could cut right to your soul. The Bible tells us, about the right kinds of music and the wrong kind of music. In Psalm 69, there's a great chapter about Jesus. And in verse 12 it says, they that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. And that stuck out to me. He says, the song of the drunkards. That doesn't sound like the right kind of music. Okay, they're basically going to be blaspheming Jesus or mocking him or whatever. And Jesus was the song of the drunkards. And I was thinking about that. Well, what was the song of the drunkards? What do you think that means today? I mean, if you go to any bar, you'll hear the song of the drunkards. And you know what those songs are? It's the same music you're going to find on the radio. It's the same stuff you're going to hear just on your popular classic rock or your modern rock or your hip-hop, rap, whatever. I mean, whatever's popular today, whatever people are into. You could go out to the bars and you could find the same exact kind of music, and that's going to be the song of drunkards. And in Ephesians 5 says in verse 18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So this is a reference to the right kind of music. And I thought it was interesting, you know, when Jesus said he was the song of drunkards, how he's including alcohol with the music. And Ephesians 5 says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. There's a correlation there with this false spirit of drunkenness and having a spirit of the world with the music and being filled with the Spirit of the Lord and speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So there's a dichotomy. There's definitely a correlation here of the Bible's, you know, drawing a distinction here between being drunk and having a false spirit and associating that with music as well as the right kind of music, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, things that praise the Lord and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, the devil is also a musical creature. I believe he's the one that's behind all of the world's music today. You know, as we saw earlier in 1 John, that all that is in the world is not of the Father, but it's of the world. And I believe that the devil's behind the things of this world, like the world's music. He's also the best con man ever. I mean, you think of how many years of experience he has doing this and being deceitful and being extremely subtle. In the book of Ezekiel 28:13, the Bible says, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl and onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. This is referring to Satan. If you could get that in context later, but This is referring to Satan, how beautiful he was, how he had these beautiful array of it's likening stones and he was, you know, he's colorful and it says the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. So God made Satan to be a very, you know, he's an angel of light. He was a very beautiful creature. He had a great voice. It says his tabrets and pipes were the workmanship of God. And so he's definitely a musical creature. And because he's so deceptive and he's so subtle, he's able to use that today in the world's music. Now, you know, God likes music. He likes the right kind of music, which is why I believe he's given people talents and abilities to be able to sing, play the piano, and do all kinds of things. And we ought to use those talents to glorify God and to honor God, as the Bible tells us that we ought to do, and not to just be sucked into the world's view. And you know, I went over some of this already. The dangers of the world's music is because of how much effect and impact it has on you. And you got to ask yourself too, you know, where you think, is this the right kind of music or is it not? I mean, it usually should be pretty simple. All right, you look at the groups that are out there, and what do they stand for? What message are they trying to get across? I mean, it should, like, most of the stuff that I was into, it was a no-brainer. All right, I mean, I would listen to people like Metallica and Pearl Jam and all these other groups, right? And that's a no-brainer. I mean, you can look at them. But you know what I also would do is I liked the music, and a lot of times I didn't like the lyrics. But the music just would tug on me and just really made my flesh want to listen to it. Okay, the lust of the flesh is not of the Father, but my flesh really wanted to listen to that music because I just liked the way it sounded. So I would take a song like, Metallica has a song, it's called Creeping Death. I would actually justify listening to the music because it talked about biblical things. I mean, that's talking about the Passover, and it's kind of a twisted way of talking about Passover, creeping death. I mean, it's a very negative view of the whole thing, I guess, if you're going to take like Pharaoh's view of it, the world's view, Egypt's view, right? And but I would listen to that, and I would justify and say, you know, I remember telling my mom, like, oh, no, you know, they're not that bad. They talk about things in the Bible. And that's how I would justify listening to it. But, you know, I was wrong. I mean, they also put out songs like The God That Failed and a host of other songs. I mean, that are just completely blasphemous. You know, think about Pearl Jam. And they promote abortion. Even Huey Lewis, you think, what's wrong with Huey Lewis? Come on. I mean, he has like bubblegum songs, right? I mean, just these really light, innocent songs. But he's got a song out there that mocks soul winners. Jacob's Ladder is an example of that. I'm not going to go through this whole list. I have different things here, but it's, you know, it doesn't matter. You know for yourself, once you hear these, you hear the music, and I don't know all the popular stuff today. I quit listening to music, the world's music, that is. So every time I refer to music, I'm not talking about just all music in general. Okay, I'm talking about the music that the world puts out here. I quit listening to that shortly after I started coming here and I started getting right with God. Now, for a long time, I knew this stuff was wrong, but I didn't want to think about it. I didn't want to deal with it. I put it out of my head, and I just kept feeding the lust of the flesh. But when you start feeding the Spirit, when you start feeding things of God, you got to get rid of the fleshly appetites. You got to get those out of your life. I mean, I don't want to be listening to people, especially like the known homos. I mean, there's so many of them. And how many are there that we don't know? But I mean, these are not the people that you want to be filling your mind or get their song stuck in your head. I mean, you don't want to get their agenda stuck in your head. You got, and a lot of it you can't even get away to even if you go to like a, you know, a basketball game or something like I was talking about earlier. I mean, you get Queen always just crammed down your throat there. And it's, you know, Freddie Mercury died of AIDS. There's so many others out there too that it's just it's not what you want to be getting in your mind. But you know, another thing that's wrong with the world's music today is that these musicians are literally idolized today. You know, concerts have become, a lot of concerts are like a worship service, literally. And this is another thing I used to love to do. I used to go out to these concerts all the time. And what do you have? You see a sea of people. They got their hands in the air, right? Or they're lighting lighters, or you know, moving their hands up. And you got the stage set up, the lights are on, the singers, the group, the few people that are up there, and everyone else is just chanting and raising their arms up. And I mean, it literally is like a worship service. It's a false worship service. It's still, I mean, it's that. And you know, a lot of those people, they love the fame. The rock stars, they love it. I mean, they feed off of that. A lot of them will play with the crowds and get them to do whatever they want them to do and just kind of play with that little bit of a power. They get a power trip from it. But I'll tell you what, that's wrong. So why am I preaching about all this tonight? It's really just a warning because it says something that's been a very big impact on me. It's something I have to live with now for the rest of my life for having it been such a big part of me. But, in 1 John chapter 2 where we started, in verse number 1 it says, "My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not." And that's my whole goal tonight is I want to point out this sin because it is a sin. If you're listening to today's music, it's a sin.
Amen.
That's the bottom line. I mean, there's no other way around it. If you're listening to the world's music, the junk that the world puts out, it's sin. Okay, you shouldn't be letting them influence you in getting this music into your head. Music will affect you, even if you don't realize it is, even if you think you can handle it. The Bible says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." If you think you could just, "Well, I'm just going to listen to it a little bit. I'm just going to listen to stuff that's not so bad. I'm not going to listen to the really bad stuff, but I really like this group. I want to keep listening to them." That's not right. If it's of the world, it's not of the Father. You're going to end up memorizing stuff whether you want to or not. And, this was another problem with me, just like any other sin. And this could be applied for any sin, I think. Once you give in and you make that compromise in your mind and say, "You know what? I know it's not right, but I just want to listen to it a little bit." Once you open up that door, the devil's got a foothold. He's going to push that wide open. And it's going to lead to a lot of other things that you didn't maybe want to do and you wouldn't have even let an inch go. But and what I mean by that, especially with music, is like, you think about a lot of the things that are sung about and they're not good. I mean, maybe they'll be singing about alcohol or cigarettes or fornication or something like that. And maybe it's something that some other sin that you'd struggled with in the past and you got out and you're done with it. But then you hear the music. And it sounds good. And they're singing about drinking or they're singing about how much fun they had with a girl or whatever. Right? And it starts putting these thoughts back in your head. And it's something that you wouldn't normally consciously be thinking about or even want to think about. And you know what? They're trying to put a positive spin on it by touching your soul and making it feel good, making it sound good. But it's a lie. It's deceptive. It's best just to get that filth out of your life. And, a recommendation on how to do it. This is how I did it. I took all my music, and it was hard to do, but I took my CD collection. And you know what? I had rare CDs. I had stuff that cost a lot of money. I took a hammer and a chisel and I pounded it down. And I stamped it to bits. Because you know what? I don't want anyone else to... If you truly believe that it's wrong, and if you truly believe that this is not good, it's not anyone should be listening to this, then you shouldn't just go turn around and sell it to people.
That's right.
I mean, you shouldn't just go make a profit on it. Because you say, "Oh, well, I spent so much money on this, I'm not going to listen to it, but, I could get like $1,000 if I sell this stuff." And that could be tempting. I had at least $1,000 worth of stuff, but you know what? It wasn't right. It wasn't right for anybody, not just for me. It's not good stuff to listen to. You just destroy it. And that's, with a lot of things, too. I mean, it could go for more than just music. If you think something's wrong, if you think it's a sin, then you don't want to expose other people to it. Just destroy it, burn it, get rid of it, whatever you want to do, whatever makes it feel good. I kind of enjoyed the smashing, and it was definitely a turning point, though. I'll tell you what, because that really solidified the decision that I made to not want to do that anymore, to not want to have this influence in my life anymore, and just to really try to put that behind me as a once and for all, as a big step to make instead of just going slowly. So don't just store it away in your closet just in case, later on down the road you're going to change your mind. Because you probably will end up changing your mind if you do that. But and you know what, this whole sermon I've been preaching against the world's music. But you know, we also have this music out today, that the Christian contemporary music, which is completely patterned after everything that the world is putting out. Okay. And to be honest with you, I think it's worse. It's worse than all the words. At least the world's music isn't necessarily trying to hide what they're singing about. They're just putting it out there. And they're using the music to get you to like it and to get their message into your mind. But these Christian bands, they're trying to mimic them. But see, they have a different message, and their message is religious. Okay, and if you look at, you can't just look at it and say, oh, well, they're Christian, they must be okay. Okay, a lot of things that are wrong, besides them patterning themselves after the world, which they're supposed to be separated, you know, we should be singing psalms and hymns, the spiritual songs and the gods, not the world music, but besides that, most of them, if you're to look up what they believe, they don't even believe what we believe about salvation. You know, the vast majority of them, I say, are not even saved. So why do you want to let them get their message into you? Let them influence you on something other than just sins, but like doctrine about things that are extremely important, about what you believe about the Bible. I mean, that's something I would say that's probably even more important, not to get that junk into your head than just some of the sins of the world. But in any case, you know, if this is something that you've struggled with, I hope that this helps you. Because one of the things, though, that you can do, if you're really used to listening to stuff, like I was, I mean, if it's something that was a habit, just like, you know, when people quit smoking, it's a habit. You still have a habit, you wanna, you know, they tend to eat or you know, get suckers or something like that to get past the initial phases of getting rid of that sin from your life. If you have a problem with like listening to the world's music and it's really appealing to you, you know what you ought to do? You should just replace that. Replace that with the right stuff. You know, what I did, I got the Bible on MP3, and I just listened to that because I was so used to just listening to stuff all the time. I mean, it'd be good if you don't have to just listen to things all the time. That, you know, that'd be good. But maybe to help you out, get something like the Bible on CD. Get some preaching CDs. Get anything, you know, download sermons. There's lots of sites out there. You could hear other people preach. And listen to that. You know, the Bible says it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. So this is better for you than the song of fools, obviously. You want to hear the rebuke of the wise. Listen to preaching. Listen to the Bible on audio. Don't listen to the song of fools. It's worthlessness. It's foolishness. Don't listen to the world's music. But, you know, take a songbook home with you and learn some of these songs and try to get these. You know, that's the other thing I always do. When I get a stupid song stuck in my head, I just start singing a hymn in my head. Every time. Because I don't want to have that as being a as influencing me or being stuck in my head. I don't want to be dwelling and thinking about those things. But let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to preach tonight. God, I pray that you would please just help someone today to walk away with something that will help them, dear Lord, in their life. And I know that this has been a problem for me. I'm sure it's been a problem for other people too. And I just thank you for this opportunity. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's turn our last song 397.